Good evening, everyone. It is again a pleasure to be with you and get a chance to open up God's Word together. It's been a wonderful day to spend with you today. Enjoyed our time in our Bible class, enjoyed the time of worship that we had this morning. I will have to say, this congregation really knows how to cook well. If anybody left here hungry today, that's totally your fault. I mean, there was plenty of food out there. And so I decided it was my job to taste it all, and so I look like I look. But anyway, it's been a great day, and we've had a chance to kind of look around St. Clairsville this afternoon, the family and I, kind of tour the place a little bit, and drive around, and we really have enjoyed our time being here together. As we take a look at this lesson this evening, touching the untouchables. It's a sermon that centers around a man who has leprosy. And I'll get to his story in just a moment. Leprosy was and is a very dreaded disease. It is one in which people are afraid of tremendously and how contagious it may be. Many times in the Bible, though, when you talked about leprosy, it covers a wide variety of skin diseases, not just what we think of leprosy today. But God gave a command to Moses and to the people concerning a person who has leprosy. This is what God says in the Levitical law, the Mosaic law. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. As we understand God giving that particular law, you can also understand how the leper felt. When a person was found to have leprosy, and there really is a process, as you read through the book of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14 and 15, it is such a dreaded thing because what it does is it sends you away. To try and imagine the feeling of what it would be like to be so alone, so separated from everybody around you. To no longer have the association that you have had. I can only imagine how much despair, that depression that would bring into a person's life. They're literally sent outside the camp. As time went on and they built these wall cities, or when they came in and had cities that had walls in them, they had to remain outside the walls of the city. Whenever someone was to come around them, they had to cry out who they were. Unclean! Unclean! To take an emotionally horrible situation like that, and then to compound it with the fact that you couldn't worship God, and try doing that as a Jew. Think of how hard it was when the synagogues came into that timeline. They were not allowed to go into the synagogues. They weren't allowed to enter into the temple. If you're going to worship God, if you're going to be where God is, you have to be around God's people, and the leper couldn't do that. So for the Jew, they were not just ostracized from the people, but many felt ostracized even from God. Where do they turn? So it makes our story a little bit more interesting. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're going to read just a few verses, beginning with verse 40. Mark chapter 1. A leper came to him, Jesus that is, imploring him and kneeling, said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest. Offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. I want you to notice a few things about this particular story. Number one, in the gospel accounts, this is the very first person who has leprosy to ever have been cleansed from leprosy. And if you want to do your biblical history to try to find out how many people were cured, now we have this teaching in the Levitical law of what needed to take place in order to go through the cleansing process if you were clean. But if you really asked yourself, how many people were cleansed from leprosy? I can think of three. And the first one may not fully count. Remember Moses at the burning bush? And he was trying to tell God what he can and cannot do, and how he wouldn't be good enough, and who was going to listen to him. And God said, "Hey, take your hand, put it inside your cloak, pull it out. It's leprous. Put it in, pull it out. It was clean." The second is actually that of his sister Miriam, who in the wilderness wandering, she and her brother Aaron really kind of made some charges against Moses, and God struck her with leprosy. And Aaron pleaded to Moses, "Pray to God for our sister." And Moses did, and she was cleansed. The third isn't even a Jew. The third is a Syrian man who comes because he has heard that there is a prophet who might be able to cleanse him or to heal him of his leprosy. His name is Naaman. But this particular prophet won't even leave the house to come out to him. He sends his servant. He says, "Go sit, dip yourself seven times in the River Jordan, you'll be cleansed." Those are the only three times I know of a person who had leprosy who was cleansed of their leprosy. So when I come to this story, I have to ask myself, why? Why does this man believe that Jesus can do what appears to be the impossible for man? In each of the other cases that I mentioned to you, God did the healing, not man. I don't read of any Jewish doctor in the Old Testament that is able to help someone be cured from their leprosy. This man, for some reason, believes that Jesus can do it. I don't know what stories he has heard. This is very early in the ministry of Jesus. I don't know what he knows. Maybe he has heard some of the healings that he have done, but leprosy? A man who is supposed to cry out, "Unclean," instead comes down. Depending on whether you're reading Matthew, Mark, or Luke, all three tell this story almost identically, almost word for word. One of them say that he falls on his face before Jesus. Mark says that he falls to his knees, probably both, really, is what you're looking at. And he says to Jesus, "If you are willing, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Matthew, Mark, and Luke all use the exact same word, clean. He didn't say, "If you are willing, you can heal me of my disease. If you are willing, you can take this leprosy away from me." He said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And when you look at what this man does, he comes and he falls down before Jesus. This is a worship style. And so I have to ask myself, what is this man longing for? And I come to one conclusion. as much as he misses his relationship with everybody around him, I think he misses his relationship with God. I don't want to just be made well. I want to be made clean. I want to be able to be back in that covenant relationship with God. I want to be able to go back and worship my God. And right now I can't do that. But if you're willing, you can do that. There are so many people in this world, brethren, that feel unclean. Whether perceived or real, that's the feeling that they have. Unworthy, left alone, not a part of, kicked out from, and inside they hurt. And what they want more than anything else is relationship. They want to have somebody that is in relationship with them, that together they can worship God. What draws people to a church today? When you can go to, I drove around this town, you can go to a lot of different buildings that all claim their understanding of Christianity. What draws people to a church? I think many times it's people who are looking for a relationship because they look at themselves and they see themselves as the leper. And what they want is for Jesus to make them clean. I take a look at my own life. And I know I'm not perfect. I know my own struggles. I know my own sins. And there are many times when my prayer has been this one. Please, please make me clean. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of being where I am. I'm tired of not being right with you. God, if there's one thing I ask, please make me clean. Jesus does the unthinkable. The Bible says that he had compassion, mercy, pity, depending upon your translation. And he reaches out and he touches him. Now you may think, well, so what? Let me ask you to think through the eyes of a Jew for just a moment. What does that make Jesus at this moment in time unclean? You can't touch a leper. Jesus has mercy on a person who is hurting. And he reaches out and he touches him. Try to ask yourself, when do you think the last person was who touched this man? How long has he lived ostracized from the people, from his family, from God? And here is Jesus coming along and he touches him. He touches him. That human touch represents love to the highest. And Jesus simply says, I will. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. So where are you and I into this story? Sometimes I'm the leper. But I think the reason Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell this story is not to tell us the story of a leper who has been made clean, but to tell us about how Jesus deals with the untouchables. What Jesus does to help them in their life. And the Bible tells us that he had compassion or pity or mercy on this man. And he loved the unlovable. He touched the untouchable. He could forgive the unforgivable. Have you ever needed that in your life? I want to close by telling you one story about me. When I was in the eighth grade, we moved to Alaska. And I got to go to a school that was extremely small. The seventh and eighth grade were combined into one classroom because that's how small the school was. But in Alaska, basketball is the sport. It's the absolute sport. Well, face it, how much time do you have outside anyway when it's not snowy? So basketball is a sport. I am such a non-athlete. And I know you can look at me and figure that one out for yourself, but I am such a non-athlete that the idea of me playing any sport is almost ridiculous. But I'm a new kid in a new school, and I joined the basketball team. And partway through the season, it became very clear that our school, as little as it was never one of the top-ranking basketball threats of Alaska. And part of the difficulty was there were only 5 girls on the girls' team. Now, if you understand basketball, and I'm sure you do better than I do, you can play basketball with just 5 kids. The problem is nobody could ever sit out. You could never get a rest. You were always going all the time. So they made an exception for our school. They allowed a boy to play on the girls' basketball team, but it had to be someone who couldn't be a tremendous threat. I've got a feeling you're ahead of me. So guess who they picked to play on the girls' basketball team? Now, by the way, it's not a way to meet girls. That's not the point. You're not the star basketball player on the girls' basketball team. And I'm out there, and I was fouled. And it was in the day where you actually jumped for a jump ball. I don't believe they do that anymore, but this was a timeline when you got in that circle and you got up there and you jumped and you tried to tip the ball to your teammate. The girl that was opposite me, her name was Debbie Blossom. And Debbie, I was 99 pounds in the eighth grade. Debbie was, I wouldn't say 99. You might be able to add another number to that one. And you're going to come up with Debbie's size. She was a big girl. And Debbie was not going to be intimidated by a boy. And she truly was a great athlete. And she had that look like she was going to kill me and eat me. And I believe she could have done it. So here we are. The whistle blows. We both go up. And I actually tipped the ball. I did my job. And it came over. And our team got it. Except for Debbie missed the ball. Now, if you can picture this. This not petite young lady jumping as high as she can, leaning as far forward as she can, what happens next? We are now both down on the ground, and I am on the bottom, and she is face to face with me. The gymnasium is filled with people because it's fun to go watch the kids play basketball. That day was definitely entertaining. And the room goes silent. All I wanted to do was die. All I wanted. God, please let me die right here, right now. Sink me into the floor. I'll let this be my grave. It's okay. But instead there was one tiny, tiny little snicker that somehow grew into this loud noise of laughter. And I really believed nobody would ever want to be around me. But in that laughter, I heard one voice, and it was my mother's voice, and she shouted, "That's my boy!" Now, my mom could have left that out. But here's the point that I want you to take from this. As much as I felt humiliated that day, as hard as it was for me that day, do you know what happened in school the following day? Nothing. Not one kid, maybe they joked around, but I was not made to feel humiliated. When I really believed nobody else would care, my school rallied around me, the boy on the girls' basketball team. They showed pity, compassion, and mercy when I needed it the most. They loved me when I really believed I was absolutely the worst person in the world. First of all, to be on that team meant I was not good at basketball. But they included me. Maybe you've been there at some point in your life. But maybe you're the person that's more like Jesus. Maybe you're the one that's out there showing the compassion. I ask you as you go home tonight to really think about this congregation. Maybe take your directory and leaf through it and try to ask yourself, who here is missing? Who hasn't been to worship in a while? Who here, perceived or real, feels alone, neglected? Who can you go out and touch? Who can you show love when it seems like nobody else is showing them love? Jesus paid it all. In that song, I believe we're about to sing that song, the second line asks the question, who can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone? I don't care whether you see yourself as the leper or the one like Jesus showing compassion. Our role as Christians is to love, to include, to touch, to be together. And tonight, maybe that's what you're needing. Someone to reach out and to touch you. I was just overwhelmed this morning how so many of you came up to these young people and this lady that was up front and just loved on them and welcomed them. Do you know how lonely that front row can feel? But instead of leaving them, you entered into their life. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And I beg you, when you leave here tonight, to not just walk away thinking about this lesson, but walk away believing you're going to do something. That God has called you to reach out and to touch and to show compassion and to become the Christ that somebody needs. If we can help you tonight and be the Christ that you need, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing.